Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
You're all very, very welcome back. It is now time for some recommendations on what we're going to check out on the big screen and the small screens later this week. We're joined by radio producer and broadcaster Eoin Sweeney and culture journalist Zara Hederman. You're very, very, very welcome.
Hello.
How are
Zara,
you?
Zara, I know it was last week's news, but I have to get it off my chest. I am devastated by the devastating reviews for Emily in Paris, which I binge watched for professional reasons.
Same, even though I didn't have to cover it. I just loved it. Finished work early on Friday just to sit down for five episodes.
Like, it was terrible compared to the other ones, but still, but I took it personally. Eoin.
Wait, bad reviews for something that was terrible?
I know, but just when you form an emotional connection, you know, it
hurts. Make it personal. It hurts.
I had a moment, Eoin. Let's move to you. The big screen, Trap. It's the new N. Night, am I going to pronounce this right?
I don't know.
Shyamalan?
That's easy Shyamalan? For you to say. M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Yes.
Trap is it a return to form, something different?
It's hard to know. No, it's not. It's rubbish. But it's enjoyable rubbish. It's ultimately preposterous. It's like, this man made The Sixth Sense, got nominated for loads of Oscars, and has lived off it ever since. That's unfair. He's made bucket loads of money. The films have been varying quality, varying plausibility.
Old.
You know, old.
Watched that recently.
Yeah, that was on telly last week, in fact. That's the one where they all go to the beach and they all age.
And get old.
He did the one, The Happening, which had rustling in the leaves and people were affected by some sort of biological weapon or something. That was the last one I watched. That's about 15 years ago.
So that's the range.
Okay, so this is Trap. Basically, this is a bit triggering, I would imagine, for Ariana Grande. His daughter's in it. She plays the pop star Lady Raven. But principally, Cooper, played by Josh Hartnett, is a typical suburban dad. He takes his daughter Riley, played by Ariel Donoghue, to see the aforementioned Lady Raven in concert. So far, so good. He notices a heavy police armed presence, SWAT teams, whatever, mysterious, at this full arena indoors during the day. It's a special afternoon concert. Turns out it was arranged as, wait for it, a trap to capture a serial killer who has a way of dismembering people, and they call him the Butcher. And I don't know. Can you guess who the Butcher might be by the fact that Josh Hartnett's the only named actor in it? Anyway, It's utterly preposterous. So this whole gig is set up to catch your man on the way out.
How would one describe this as a genre? Is it comedy?
It's a bit daft, because if you've ever gone to a gig, and certainly if you've brought a teenager to a gig who's been obsessed with this pop star, and then you spend most of the gig going out trying to find the quickest way out, and she keeps having to leave the gig. She doesn't seem too bothered about leaving the gig half the time as well. Anyway, the pop star turns out to be, well, I'm not going to say. Anyway, it's a bit daft. I'd say she's clearly based on Ariana Grande, who clearly had awful experiences in Manchester, as did all of those in attendance. And so this is... It's an interesting conceit. It's executed in a very bizarre way. The FBI profiler is played by Hayley Mills, bit of a star spot there, and the daughter, as I say, is the daughter of the director is the pop star. It is preposterous. It is daft. It is already making money. Is it going to make a lot of money? I don't know.
Who knows?
Watch it with interest. It's a very interesting idea.
A teenager whose mother has just died. This, Zara, is another horror offering, Cuckoo. What's it all about?
No, so full disclosure, I actually haven't seen it yet. It's out next Friday, the 23rd, but I've been really enjoying watching the trailer for it. And when I saw it in the cinema, I actually was like sufficiently quite creeped out and scared by it and wondered, would I be able for this now in the cinema? So,
why has it been described then as unexpectedly fun and undeniably nutty?
Because the premise of this concerns human-avian crossover. So the film is called Cuckoo.
I'm in.
I can't wait to watch this. So I've really enjoyed reading reviews and listening to the director, Tillman Singer, talk about this. So your basic premise is Gretchen, played by Hunter Schafer, who people know from maybe Euphoria. Her mother has just died. She goes to live in the Alps with her father and stepmother, and she gets a job in this resort to work in the reception. Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey, he plays Herr Koenig, this very sinister German kind of overlord of this resort. And our premise is there's a strange hooded woman who is kind of lurking about the resort. Next of all, you get these like female holiday makers at this resort vomiting. And then there's some lane ceremonies. And as a detective who shows up and is talking to Gretchen, she kind of goes, he goes through the what's going on. And he is talking about how, you know, cuckoos are known as brood parasites. And this is where these kind of human avian lane ceremonies come in. What's crucial here as well is Gretchen has a half sister who is mute. And we learn something very important about the sister and her time living in this resort.
Well, I'm going to wait for the full reviews on that one.
Yes.
Owen, there are a couple of documentaries about two very, very different ones. One, I don't think we could have been avoided. It's been so well flagged, and that is Mrs. Robinson. Is it? It's going to be in cinemas from August 23rd. Is it a worthy portrait of our former president?
Aoife Kelleher has done a brilliant job here, I have to say. It's a story. It's one of those, as an Irish person, you might approach with a certain justified level of trepidation. It's a story you feel like you know. There's a lot in this that you won't have seen before. Mary Robinson's very candid in this. She's up front. The supporting cast is excellent, but and the use of footage. The real joy in this, I think, and certainly I imagine from the filmmakers' point of view, the real the energy comes from the Super 8 films, the private films from the Robinson family of Mary, young Mary, tomboy Mary, growing up in Ballina with four brothers, and then going off to Trinity, and you know there is graduation. Mary, you see it in this grainy, wonderful footage of Ireland, and to see footage.
You say we think we know.
You think
her story.
Yeah, there's her dad kind of play acting with, and her goofing around with the brothers, and then there's her joy clearly in her gowns. You know, you imagine. I assume it's her graduation from Trinity College. You know, in colour in those years, because you didn't get great colour in those years, and you certainly didn't get a lot of personal insight from film in those years.
And including that, just from what I've seen and some of the coverage, including owning up to mistakes she made in her career.
I think that's really interesting. From an Irish point of view, because it's obviously made for a wide general audience, and very well it is done too. I mean, you do have you've a lot of people there who are, you know, Fintan O'Toole's explaining Ireland to non-Irish people, essentially, as he often does. Brilliant contributions from the likes of Maureen DeBerca and Rosita Sweetman, and of course Bride Rosny, yeah, to whom the film is dedicated.
Yes.
And I think they obviously worked alongside her, and she's brilliant. And again, she wouldn't be one to shy away from criticism. But for example, from an Irish point of view, you're always thinking, well, when she did take up the UN High Commissioner role, she did leave the ORIS 3 months early.
Yeah.
And she does say she regrets that. And actually, Dermot Ferris was quite strong on that point. And it does bring it right up to date with the with Dubai's Princess Latifah,
yes,
and that whole recent controversy. Yeah. So she addresses that as well. So it brings you right up to date. But there's brilliant kind of things you might forget, like the Hello photo shoot. Nick and Aubrey Robinson are in it, and they're talking about the Hello photo shoot in advance of the presidential election, and Mary bemoaning the fact that she didn't put a penny on her when she was 100-1 as an outsider. And that whole thing that you kind of feel reeling in the ears and repeats and stuff you've lived through so many times. It's done really well and told in a completely, not a completely different way, but in a refreshing way, I have to say.
And look, I mean, and I suppose, Zara, you know, what makes a good documentary is when you're dealing with these formidable characters, people perhaps we know a lot about. One which you've had a look at it for us is about a very divisive, formidable character, and that is a new documentary about Faye Dunaway. How did that work out?
Well, so watching it, it's by Laurent Beauzeret, who has made quite a lot of documentaries about like legendary films like Jaws, The Birds. He's worked a lot with Steven Spielberg and has now turned to looking at like Natalie Wood, he made a documentary about. I was really excited about this because Faye Dunaway, you know, she's in Network, Chinatown, two incredible films, Bonnie and Clyde, which unfortunately for me, I had the film spoilt. They do show quite a lot of what happens, but that's more on me because the film is 50 years old. This was interesting because obviously Faye Dunaway, there is the conceit, incredible actress. Also, we have a clip of Bette Davis on the Johnny Carson show saying that Faye Dunaway was the worst person she ever worked with. So she is addressing, you know, those difficult actor claims that have been made.
Is it a sanitised documentary?
It is.
Oh dear. Yeah.
But at the same time, like Laurent Beauzeret is really good friends with her son Liam, and they had been trying for years together to sit down to do this. And the mask does slip. Like they do show some like moments, like someone gives her a bottle of water to drink from when she's doing an interview and she looks at them very sternly and is like, never come at me again with a bottle, give me a glass of water. So they're like, oh, right, I can see this. But then you also have people who have worked with her, like Mickey Rourke, who's like, she's an incredible actor to, you know, bounce off in scenes. And the documentary also kind of is anchored by, you know, Bonnie and Clyde, Chinatown Network, Mommy Dearest as well, which is a film that is very focused on and how that really kind of was a detriment to her career, but became this very cult film of midnight showings.
And are you interested for, you know, her filmography or her personality? Because, you know, she had bipolar disorder. She struggled with alcoholism. She received treatment for that. So does it really get into the person behind kind of the glamorous filmography and the career?
It does, to be fair. And I think her son Liam is interviewed quite a lot in it. And his contributions are very, very, very worthwhile in how raw he is in it. Like, he doesn't hold back. And even she as well, like, I do have to commend her. Like, she's very forthright in talking about her bipolar disorder. And she doesn't, you know, use that as an excuse for the claims of being difficult on screen. She just talks about as well, like, how important her career was to her. And she talks about, you know, with Network in particular, how that was a woman whose job was her life, and she talks very frankly about that, but then also about, you know, her alcoholism, her bipolar disorder, and then her desire to become a mother. So in that way, it's a very fulfilling reading of her life, but just the production of it, I just found it a bit too clean.
It's on Sky Documentaries on Sunday tonight at 7 o'clock, and just Standalone Faye. Owen, there is a new sitcom on BBC Two starting tomorrow night. We Might Regret This. Did you?
I did not. I've watched all six episodes, I have to say. I couldn't stay away. It is very funny. It's irreverent. Little is left to the imagination. It's on at 11:05 tomorrow night, so that might give you an indication. It's on BBC Two. You may want to tape it. Kyla Harris, who's co-creator of this, plays Freya, who's the lead character. She's a 30-something tetraplegic Canadian artist who moves to London to be with her 50-something bankruptcy lawyer boyfriend. He's got his own dysfunctional family stuff going on in the background. It is, as I say, it's very frank. Her best mate turns up due to suspicious circumstances. We're not sure why. She's suspicious of the new boyfriend, protective of Freya. She becomes personal assistant. There's boundaries issues are addressed. Freya at one point, as kind of obviously a wheelchair user, she her pal refers to the new motor chair as the electric chair. She goes, I don't think that's the right term, Joe. She's scouted as a model because obviously, you know, she has her own style, and the ad agency say disability is having a moment right now. People are looking to get people like you.
That's why I was interested, because obviously with a sitcom or even with comedy, sometimes dealing with those, I'm just wondering, did they get the
tone is absolutely
right.
And the supporting cast are brilliant, because I'll say, apart from Freya, our Kyla Harris, who plays Freya, who is a wheelchair user herself and an activist, Sally Phillips is in it, and I literally watch Sally Phillips in anything. She is hilarious. She is the ex-wife of the boyfriend of Freya, and at one point she says, you're having a midlife crisis, albeit a very inclusive one.
Sarah, and with 1 minute to go before we have to close out, it is coming to the end of the summer, which means the Rose of Tralee Monday and Tuesday.
Yes, and this year we actually have some very interesting roses. Shane Byrne, Ireland rugby legend.
It's not a rose.
No, but his aptly named daughter Kerry is representing Wicklow. Dublin has Casey Harris, who is a singer and music teacher. And then Donegal has Niamh Shevlin, who is actually in Michael Flatley's Lord of the Dance, playing the lead female role, Saoirse. At the moment, I think the Kerry Rose is the lead to win. Mr. Tato as well, he was at the festival during the week. So 64th year, Dahi O'Shea and
no matter what we say, we will all be there to watch and be on social media and give it a whole run. Listen, Zara Hederman and Owen Sweeney, thank you very much. And listen, that is all for us from today.